Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're thrilled to have Dan Lebatard join us here on 95.7 The Game. Dan Lebatard, the man, the myth, the legend, now his own media company. Meadowlark is doing fantastic stuff. I was watching his show today, and he said a couple of things about Barry Bonds, which made me say to Lucas, do you think we could use the magnetism of Ray Ratto to get Dan Lebatard on the show today? And he said, let's try. I guess it worked. Dan, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it. How are you?
I got to be honest. It wasn't the magnetism. It was the sensuality that lured me.
Ooh. Hello, Cuddles.
Oh, my God. I am so attracted to you right now. I am dizzy with my desire.
Can I talk to your wife real fast? She may need an intervention.
She has given me one celebrity pass, and it's you, my friend.
I feel like I'm crowding the room. I really do. I don't even need to be here.
I got to be honest with you. I can't decide whether to get a cigarette or just get the creeps.
So,
if you want to really make it creepy, Damon, you could watch.
Oh, thank you. Let the boy watch.
Yeah, Dan. We put him to work and make him film it.
Enough. Dan, the reason why we called today is because you said two things that really got my mind thinking. Number one, we agree. If Barry Bonds had just smiled a little bit more, he's in the Hall of Fame. Number two, you jogged my memory about the stunt that you had pulled with Deadspin and your Hall of Fame vote. And you copped to basically the reason the 15-year waiting period got reduced to 10 was some discipline that was thrown at you and Barry Bonds' maybe collateral damage because of all that. Would you take the audience through it again? I was watching today. I'm all caught up. Please catch our audience up.
It's the cosmos laughing at me because a few years ago in a stunt, and I can be look at me journalist, performance troll. I can sort of wrap my integrity, or I can wrap the look at me in what is alleged to be integrity and do something like I did with the Hall of Fame, which is do what I believe, which is the principled thing of I thought the arbitrary moralities of the gatekeepers on the Hall were unfair, and that we've got to be able to celebrate the, separate the art from the artist. And that we shouldn't be judging these guys beyond their excellence. And so I was just protesting the idea that many of us would have partaken in a fountain of youth if it was available at the pharmacy and we were competitionaholics trying to get every edge. And so I always understood that Barry Bonds and his excellence are something that I had not seen in my lifetime watching baseball, and most people hadn't. And I gave my vote to Deadspin, sold it, quote unquote. I didn't take any money as part of a stunt to show off that I was protesting what was happening with the gatekeepers, keeping all the steroid guys out and not being able to do it right because we don't know about A-Rod. We don't know about Ortiz, the difference between them. We don't. I mean, Guillermo Mota was rail thin and he got suspended twice for steroids. I don't know if Randy Johnson used or not. I know that HGH heals, and in that sport, you might want some healing for your body. Anyway, all of which is to say, I protest voted carefully because I didn't want to actually keep anybody out of the Hall because of a stunt. I didn't want my vote to be something that kept people away, but they changed the rules when they banned me. I thought the punishment was just going to be to ban me. I'm banned for life. I can't vote anymore. And that would be the end of it. But also, because they didn't want anybody to do what I did in crowdsourcing the vote ever again, they made an overhaul of the voting system. And one of the things they did was change it from 15 years of eligibility to 10 years. And I'm guessing that's part of why Barry Bonds won't be in the Hall of Fame by these voters. Maybe the Veterans Committee will change that. But I'm guessing, given that the sentiment has been changing over the years, which is funny, given that, you know, there's an outrage now that he wasn't in, but there was outrage for a decade that he was using steroids. And here we are, where he doesn't get in, and the principle of my stand sort of gets vaporized, because I do believe he would have gotten in. It would have continued to, you know, erode the shores of this until, you know, you think that in the next 5 years he would have gotten in, I assume.
Yes, I do.
And so,
see, and yes, I don't.
If well. San Francisco's mad at me, and this is the one place where he was close to beloved, it was the one place that supported him with fervor. I didn't realize that I would end up being one of the reasons that were to blame.
Given that, do you, and I don't want to ask the question the obvious way, but do you regret what you did based on the law of unintended consequences then, if not the principle that you were trying to espouse at the time?
It's hard to disentangle those two things, right? Because I'm supporting this guy. I don't want to be a reason that he doesn't get what he rightfully deserves. And so that's not, you know, my intention doesn't much matter. The difference between murder and manslaughter, I suppose, is intent, but there's still crimes. And I would not, you know, I don't feel good about Barry Bonds not getting in, but my stand is also my stand. I suppose I could have done it differently. There are a couple of people who vote who just abstain from voting. They keep their vote, but they don't vote for anybody. So I suppose that I'm not answering your question well, because I'm conflicted on it. I don't know how much regret I can have, given that I stand on the principles, but of course it didn't have the desired result, because all I did, I changed the way they vote, but I changed it to make it a different kind of restrictive, as opposed to what I was intending to do, which is to open it up more.
Given that, do you think they might have just reduced it to 10 years anyway? Because by the time you had turned your vote over to Deadspin, the debate about the Hall of Fame was entirely about those two guys, and that they might have just cut it to 10 years, not just because of what you did, but because they wanted to take some of the time off the grief they were taking.
You soothe me by making it not about me. You soothe me by saying it might have happened anyway. I don't think, incidentally, that I am the only reason for that change, and I don't think that my one vote would have mattered much one way or the other. The thing I was fearing is somebody missing by a vote, and then that vote being my vote, somebody who deserved it missing by a vote. I did not see this angle. This was not something, it's not just merely that it's an unintended consequence. It's just not a consequence I had in any way considered.
Should we absolve Dan Le Batard of any wrongdoing? Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Dan Le Batard, nice enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Obviously, we wanted to bring you in under the premise of this subject, but while we have you here, we need to ask you about a couple of other things. I mean, we got the 49ers and Rams giving rebirth to a West Coast rivalry in the NFC title game, and we also have the curious case of how do you put together a winner in the modern NFL here, because there are, you know, obviously more than one way to skin a cat. Jimmy Garoppolo and Patrick Mahomes have reached the same level of playoffs, and they could not be more diametrically opposed to how they go about winning football games. What do you think of the state of quarterbacking, and how important is it to have one these days?
Mahomes threw for more yards after the two-minute warning than Garoppolo threw in the whole game against Green Bay, right? It was 177 yards after the two-minute warning. It's interesting to me because I believe the healthy 49ers, and I mean, I guess you guys probably know this, but I believe you can make the argument that the healthy 49ers over the last 3 years are as good as any team in the league, that they could beat anybody, and are so good that they could beat anybody while hiding their quarterback. They could be 6 minutes from winning the Super Bowl. If he makes one throw, they win the Super Bowl, and Jimmy Garoppolo perhaps is looked at differently. If you look at the quarterbacks, like largely, you had Herbert didn't make the playoffs, and Russell Wilson didn't make the playoffs, but the teams that were in the playoffs had the best quarterbacks. Garoppolo's an outlier. The 49ers are an outlier. You know, they have made it as far as they have made it with Garoppolo. I think, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in five playoff games, he's 4-1 with like two touchdowns and five interceptions and a terrible quarterback rating. And the one loss is the Super Bowl in the five playoff games. So that team, it doesn't win because of him. It wins in spite of him, and it can win. Of course it can win the Super Bowl because he makes one throw a couple of years ago, or never mind one throw. If the 49ers had been playing defense in that Super Bowl the way that everyone has figured out how to play defense against Patrick Mahomes, the 3rd and 20 would be complete to Tyreek Hill late in that game, or whatever that was in the Super Bowl where he just flips it out there to Tyreek Hill. They're not allowing that play to Tyreek Hill anymore. So I'm fascinated that it's not a mirage, that your organization, your coach, your team of athletes is so creative, it's so well structured that when that team is healthy, they can beat anybody. And I don't know how healthy they are because of how much it has taken, the expenditure that it takes after a 17-game season. I know you guys know in that market, in the last minute of that game, your three best players were limping off the field. You got Kittle, Williams, well, I guess Bosa is mildly healthy, but Williams and Debo Samuel and who else was it? There was somebody else that was limping Kittle off the field. Kittle, three guys limping in the last minute of the game. So I don't know if you guys are healthy enough to be able to execute what needs to be executed, but you've done it thus far as the team in the league that has the worst quarterback that was in the playoffs, I think, right? Like, what? Let's do the math on this. How many quarterbacks in the playoffs? Ben Roethlisberger? How many quarterbacks in the playoffs are worse than the one that San Francisco has?
Rhetorical question. Ray, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's just settle it by saying he's 12th and just let it go with that. Across the country, does the fact that the 49ers are, as you described, an outlier make them more or less charming to like just a neutral fan? Or is the show that Patrick Mahomes puts on, or the show that Joe Burrow could conceivably put on, just make them more fun to watch, and the 49ers are the outlier that tastes like medicine?
They are the perfect team for a region to fall in love with because nobody will believe in them. Nobody will want to see them in advance because you want the other storylines. The other storylines are more interesting. Just nationally, we if you look at what happened in the last round of the playoffs, where you've got, I mean, just staggering when you look at what happened last weekend, where you go from Burrow advances after being sacked 9 times. Then it escalates to Aaron Rodgers is eliminated. Then it escalates to Tom Brady is eliminated. And then you get the best football game you've ever seen between two quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, fighting to the death to see who's going to own the AFC for the next 10 years. You are seeing sort of a tectonic shift in the power at the position where the old guys a generation grew up with are fading out, although Tom Brady will play until he's 70, and the young guys are coming up and trying to grab all the stuff. And I don't think that the 49ers, I've talked to the Pro Football Focus guys. They say Trent Williams has been the best offensive player in the league this year. You have no shortage of talent. Debo Samuel is the most versatile player in the league, and they're innovative in just creating the existence of him. But that league has changed all the rules to protect the quarterbacks who are in the commercials and get all the good broadcasting jobs. The quarterbacks are the only ones who are not disposable in that league. I'm guessing that most of the people listening to this, I could introduce them to Justin Jefferson and they wouldn't know what he looks like. Justin Jefferson I'm talking about. Like, I'm talking about pretty high on the excellence, but most of these guys are disposable. The ones that aren't are the quarterbacks. They changed the rules when Brady got hurt to protect the pocket passer so that the quarterbacks are playing a totally different game. They're the only part that isn't interchangeable, and the quarterbacks tend to be the ones that we want to watch, and yours is not one of them.
Let me shift gears in the few minutes we still have you. Does everybody in Miami believe that the Heat are the best basketball team in the NBA, or are they looking at the standings daily with the sort of the trepidation that they could be first one day and fifth the next?
Oh, this is a distortion. This is basketball greed sort of chipping at the integrity of the product, because I think the team that they want to go into the playoffs with has played like 17 total minutes together this year, because this is just an assembly of bandages that they have done this with. It's just a tribute to Pat Riley, who is, you know, won in five decades. He's won championships. He's done it in Los Angeles. He's done it in New York. And now I'm telling you guys, like, you guys are sports experts. You're in the sports field. If I start asking you to name the guys that the Heat are playing with, the Yurtsevin and Strus and Martin, like, this is just a tribute to the things that Pat Riley, and Ray, you've covered this a long time, that Pat Riley believes the culture of the Miami Heat is, which is during an apocalyptic time, during a global pandemic, that the Miami Heat would thrive, that the Miami Heat would find a bunch of guys that could be ahead of somehow the Brooklyn Nets, even though my guess is most of your listeners haven't heard of half of them.
It is amazing. It is a team of who's who, kind of getting it done in the Eastern Conference. Dan Lebatard here on 95.7 The Game. And I know that we've probably already overstayed our welcome with you here, Dan, but I got to wrap up with the fact that in my life, there were a couple of deaths whose profound feeling was something I did not estimate happening. When Adam Yount, MCA, when MCA died of the Beastie Boys, I couldn't believe that, like, NBA arenas came to moments of silence. My wife and I were getting engaged in Paris the night that Prince died. When we came down from the Eiffel Tower, the entire city bathed in purple light. Like, I never realized the power of music globally until that moment. Did you think that Kobe Bryant's death, and today is the 2-year anniversary of his death, would resonate the way it did between sports fans of all ages? I had no idea. I knew he was wildly popular and beloved, but I did not understand that level of admiration for Kobe Bryant.
It's a couple of things, right? It's not merely the way that we admire winning. It's also the profound and sudden shock of an immortal being that kind of mortal, where you're just taking the garbage out and you get the news from somebody and you're like, what? You're like thinking to yourself that life filled with so much vitality, youth, forever dominating, bigger, stronger, faster, in a survival of the fittest ecosystem. It's supposed to live forever in some ways, and because he connects in some of those places that touch in that the sports is the best at touching. He does get to live forever in some ways, because that kind of guy, that kind of athlete ends up, across generations, moving people as a champion. Right? We admired his will. We admired, and in a time when we spent a lot of time complaining about, well, how much does Antonio Brown actually care? How much do these guys care that they get to play for a living and get to live out all of the fantasies of the people who love sports. He embodied them. And I obviously I was surprised, like everyone else, that he died and how he died. But I don't know that you can sort of just be numb to a youthful exuberance being extinguished. I think it's one thing for someone to die at an age when you feel like they have lived their best life. It's an entirely different thing when you see someone, flaws and all, go from a teenager to a champion to the horror of a rape accusation to keeping his marriage together, to keeping his family together, and then to becoming late in life what people close to him through the growth and everything else said was a family man who cared deeply about his life and family and being there for his family, having that taken away the way that it was taken away, and then leaving in its wake a grieving widow and young girls that he adored. Obviously, it was something when mortality touches someone like that, I think that what ends up happening is we all check in with our own mortality.
No doubt. Dan, I tell you, man, you just got away with how you talk about everything, and that's why you went to go from the newspaper to your own media company. I saw that you guys got a first look deal with Apple. That's totally awesome. May I suggest, if you're looking for pitch ideas, the story of an ink-stained wretch who so hates the topic and teams that he covers and the fans that actually read them themselves that he has utter contempt for everyone around him. It is the Ray Ratto story. I think it needs to be told on the big screen.
If only you will allow us to do it, Ray. Rated X. Adult film.
Ooh.
I'm in.
Bye, Angel Drawers.
Dan Lebertard, thank you so much for joining us and putting up with us today.
Thank you, guys. Always appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.